How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, the list goes on and on. The most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Daily replays, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 Eastern. So if you're listening on a replay, you're missing the live show every day at noon Pacific. So check it out. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. Monday morning replays, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern. Over 20 hours of programming on Sports Byline USA every single week. And even more up at WrestlingObserver.com. We got a big show today. Tomorrow, the fight of the century, Mayweather versus Pacquiao. And in the first segment of the show, we're going to be joined by Will Cooling. He is a writer for Fighting Spirit magazine in the United Kingdom. We're going to add a touch of class to the show here today. We'll be talking about Mayweather-Pacquiao. In the second segment, we'll be talking news. The phone lines will be open. It will be open line calls here today. Anything that is on your mind here on Open Line Fridays here at Wrestling Observer Live. We'll be taking your phone calls, answering your questions, whatever you want to talk about. And of course, news. Aside from the show this weekend, we've got some UFC updates, including, yes, unfortunately, Khabib Nurmagomedov is out of the May 23rd UFC show. He has been replaced in his fight with Donald Cowboy Cerrone with John McDessie. We can talk about that here on the program today. We've also got some pro wrestling news to talk about. SmackDown was last night. The Stephanie McMahon, Chris Jericho interview. If you saw that, you can give us your thoughts on what you thought of that podcast. Plus, I watched NXT as well as Lucha Underground. Two good shows. Probably have to give the edge to Lucha Underground this week, but there was some good stuff on NXT last night. And of course, they're leading to their next NXT TakeOver Live special coming up in just a few weeks now. It's already May, if you can believe that. So we'll talk about that. Plus, any other news that is going on in the world of pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. So we're going to kick it off immediately after the break. Mayweather. A lot of talk with Will Cooling, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Mike, how are you doing today?
I won't complain, Brian. How about yourself?
Very well. We are very happy today to be joined by Will Cooling. He is a writer for Fighting Spirit magazine. Here today, straight from the UK, to talk about the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight coming up tomorrow, the fight of the century. Will, how's it going?
Very well, very well. I'm getting ready to stay up until about 6 a.m. on Saturday night, Sunday morning to watch the big fight. They don't come around this big very often, so looking forward to it. And thanks for having me on.
The first question, because I always like to start off by putting people on the spot, how many buys is this show going to do?
I think it's gonna be fall short of $3 million. I think the $100 price tag is gonna make it fall short. I think some people underestimate how big Mayweather Oscar De La Hoya was. You look even back in 2011, Oscar De La Hoya's Q rating, now his public awareness of De La Hoya was surpassed both Mayweather and Pacquiao. I think it might be De La Hoya Mayweather. I don't think it's going to get $3 million. But it doesn't matter because at $100, 2.8, 2.7, even 2.5, it's going to be the biggest money match of all time.
Yeah, I don't really have any doubt that it's going to break all records. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's already broken a number of different records. But I really think that they... And honest to God, I don't know what the answer is. I think they missed the mark on $100. I think that price is too high. But the question is, I don't know where like the line crosses in the sense that they may get less buys at $100, but how many fewer would they need to get? Let's say they charge $69 or $64.95 or something like that for the show. I mean, where would that line cross where it would be worth it more to do $64 or $69 as opposed to $99? I don't know what the answer is. All I know is I still have not found one friend who's actually buying this show. And again, when the day comes, I may end up having like five guys that just, you know, flat out say, I got to see the show. I'm going to buy it even though I didn't want to. But right now, everybody is still clamoring to find one guy who wants to pay the $100 so we can all go over to his house.
Well, I'm not quite your friend, Brian, but I can confirm I would be buying it to watch it by myself. As I'm in Britain, it's only £20, which is probably about $30-$35.
Oh,
but
what,
that is actually a key point, because the promotion here is far in excess of any fight that doesn't involve a British fighter. To give you an example, our elections next week. So I watched three political programs yesterday. The first news program had an item on Mayweather-Pacquiao. The second news program had an item on Mayweather-Pacquiao that was second only to the election. The third program made sure to open with a reference to this fight. And this isn't the channel that is showing the fight. This is the channel that has the radio rights. So this is really, again, pumped out in Britain. And I think one of the things that may make this the biggest pay-per-view buys event in history is the international buys will be far in excess of Mayweather De La Hoya, even Mayweather Alvarez. Mayweather Alvarez was not a pay-per-view in the UK. It was on a boxing channel. So I think this could be the biggest buys fight of all time when you add in those international buys.
Will, can you actually speak a little bit on pay-per-view? Because in the United States, we have been so used to paying for things on pay-per-view now since the mid-80s. But over in the UK, outside of Mike Tyson fights, there have not been that much as far as main shows on pay-per-view. Ricky Hatton was kind of the first one to really have that Pandora's box open up where people were going to be paying for pay-per-view. Can you just kind of give people an overview on how pay-per-view really does work over in the UK when it comes to boxing?
So, yes, the thing with the UK is our major... The way to explain the UK pay-per-view market, imagine if all boxing pay-per-views were run by ESPN, because our biggest commercial sports broadcaster, the subscription sports broadcaster, is Sky. Sky run the pay-per-view. So it's not like in America where you have HBO or Showtime who are producing the content. They go to cable companies and they sell it. Sky owns the distribution. They produce a channel that can deal with the hype, and then they control the pay-per-view channel. One of the reasons why it's almost impossible to get accurate numbers on how many pay-per-views are sold in the UK, because Sky has all that information to itself. Pay-per-view in this country is primarily based around selling fights involving British boxers. That is the key way of making money. And you look at Hatton, you look at Hay, they have done well. The problem that has always been is they haven't had a mechanism to actually have it where it becomes sustainable, because it's always based around the one big star who isn't good enough to keep winning fights for long enough to actually have four, five, six big pay-per-view fights. Now, you look at Hay destroyed the pay-per-view market in this country for 2 years, and the only reason we're able to get boxing back on pay-per-view in the UK is that one of our boxing promoters also gives Sky darts, and so they trust them, and they're able to get it back on pay-per-view. But it's that synergy. That synergy is the thing that really helps pay-per-view in this country. Because you look at Sky at the moment, you watch football, you watch cricket, you watch darts, you watch any sporting program on Sky at the moment. They are pumping out Mayweather Pacquiao, it's coming, buy it, £20, fight of the century.
Now, when you look at the promotion for this, I know that you wrote an article in Fighting Spirit magazine, which of course is a pro wrestling magazine, and one of the things that you tied in was, what could pro wrestling learn from the promotion of this fight?
Well, I think there's one thing it can really learn. Pay-per-view's not dead. I think it'd be a really good thing for WWE to learn. And you think about this, so for the $100 people in America are paying, they could get 10 months, actually could get 11 months if it goes with a 3 month. They could get 11 months of the WWE network. And I think the key thing is everything about this event is about trying to make this a big tentpole event. This is a blockbuster fight in the same way you have blockbuster movies. And that's the great thing about pay-per-view. It's a pinnacle point. There's so much money involved. It brings in so many different actors in terms of networks, in terms of the fighters, in terms of the content providers, that it just makes it seem larger than life. And people have that. There is that need in our culture for those big tempo moments. And the move to things like the WWE Network is pro wrestling moving away from to provide those big tempo moments to have something that is much smaller and fits a niche brand. It really is symbolic that the move away from pay-per-view is just completely discounted by what's happened with Mayweather Pacquiao. How can you say pay-per-view said when 3 million people will spend $100 on one show?
Well, I think the reality is also that a lot of the people that say that pay-per-view is dead just don't know how to promote pay-per-views. I mean, the people that are promoting pay-per-view successfully, it's absolutely not dead. It's not dead for boxing, for the big fights. It's certainly not dead for UFC. It wasn't dead for WWE, for WrestleMania. It's all just a matter of promotion. There are still millions and millions and millions of people who watch the vast majority of their television on the television. And if they have the opportunity to pay a little bit of extra to watch a big event on television, they're still going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, you have to give people a reason to buy something. And I think this is also, you know, what wraps around this too is boxing is not going to be dead. Although we are going to get a ton of articles on Monday of what happens now, where do we go from here? Will, let me ask you, one of the obvious names is Canelo Alvarez, is because of his fan base, is going to continue to be a pay-per-view draw, at least in North America, because of the fan base that he has here. Are there any other names, though? I mean, nobody's going to be doing this level of pay-per-view buys, but who are some people that you believe in the next, you know, year or two, if they get the right fights and things can be put together, who can be pay-per-view draws down the road for boxing?
Actually, Will, we actually have to do a break. Stand by. We'll finish up this segment when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, as well as Will Cooling of Fighting Spirit Magazine. And Will, before we wrap up this segment, Mike wanted to know about some future boxing potential superstars. And obviously, the final question would be, who's winning on Saturday?
I think I can answer both questions at the same time. I mean, I think Mayweather's winning. I think he's bigger, quicker, smarter than Pacquiao. Pacquiao hasn't knocked anybody out since he finished Cotto in the 12th round. I can't see being able to put the sustained beating on Mayweather he needs to either finish him or win on points. And I think he's gonna be quite surprised when he realizes just how much bigger and stronger Mayweather is compared to him. That then leads to the obvious answer to the second question, which is the next person to draw big on pay-per-view will be the next person to face Mayweather. And I think as long as Mayweather's there, that will basically be the answer. You'll have some people like Cotto, like Alvarez, who will establish themselves as ethnic draws. But in reality, there can only be one big star in a sport that is really based around getting the mainstream media to really drive that general fan interest. When Mayweather goes, ideally he's beaten by somebody and they carry the mantle on. If not, somebody will emerge. I think it is too pessimistic to say the sport's dead. If Mayweather retires, nobody can take his place. I mean, a year ago, the idea that Jose Aldo would be one half of the biggest UFC fight of the year would be ludicrous. And just, you know, that one challenger, catching fire, made featherweight a marketable division. My eye would be on the heavyweight division. Klitschko's back on American TV, back fighting America, probably fighting Tyson Fury next. He's a very entertaining fighter, probably going to fight Wilder at some point. That could be a surprisingly remarkable interest in division over the next couple of years.
All right, tell us about Fighting Spirit Magazine.
Fighting Spirit Magazine, I'm available in all good UK newsagents and also available worldwide through pocket magazines and various other electronic distribution methods. Basically, looks at pro wrestling. We're going to always try to look at it in the context of both pro wrestling's history, in terms of what's been done in Britain and in the rest of the world, not just WWE, but also how it compares to other combat sports. We do cover all UFC shows regularly, but we also, on occasion, look at things like boxing, look at things like UFC in more depth, just to see what pro wrestling can learn from other combat sports. pro wrestling's fake, but it's a fake sport, and you can actually learn an awful lot about how to market it effectively if you actually look at what the likes of boxing and UFC are doing.
Well, Will, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today, all the way from the UK. Very much appreciate it. And he actually made a very fascinating comment right there. Pro wrestling is fake, but it's a fake sport. So if you learn from sports, maybe you can figure out how to do this better. So I guess we'll find out what happens tomorrow.
Remember how pro wrestling ever came to be. It was a simulated sport. So a lot of those things that work in sports work in wrestling and vice versa, or at least should.
I know that we're going to be taking open line phone calls, by the way, 855-478-4478. The lines are open right now. If you want to give us a call, whatever is on your mind, 855-478-4478. We'll start taking those phone calls here in just a moment. But that's one thing about WWE that they really need to think about. Sports are big. Sports are going to continue to be big. Sports get huge rights fees. If WWE tries to move away from being a fake sport, so to speak, that will not be in their best interests. And I knew this long before sports rights fees exploded as they have of late. The reality of the situation is, if you have a male soap opera, I guess a lot of soap operas do last for decades and decades, but I know Vince Russo was always trying to make like a television show, like a version of Survivor or whatever the case might be, and those shows all end. They all come to an end because they have a shelf life. What does not have a shelf life is either very, very successful soap operas or very, very successful sports that have been ingrained in society. And if you can somehow find a way to do a soap opera based on sports, you should be set for life. So I don't think that they should walk away from the sporting aspect of what pro wrestling pretends to be.
Of course they shouldn't, because if you're going to do that, get rid of the ring, get rid of the belts, get rid of all of that stuff, and truly make it a soap opera, make it a drama. You know, that's the whole thing with the soap operas is there's a continuous storyline that keeps going, but they also remember their backstories. They know how to tie things in, which Vince Russo could not do. And reality is, again, sports is still, it still makes more sense to me because you can have all of these personalities, the UFC, boxing, all sports show it. You have these unique personalities, but they're all fighting to be the best. And it's a very simple concept that most people can wrap their brains around. So, yeah, it's you can try to bastardize it in a million and one different ways. But if you're going to do something like that, then get all of that stuff out of there or do what Lucha Underground is trying to do, which is, it is a show about the sport. Let's go about this simulated sport.
Yes. We'll talk about Lucha Underground here in a moment. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Yes, Ryan.
My question is, this will never happen, but what would happen if John Cena would change his name to Jonathan Putin and side with Russia, much like Sergeant Slaughter did with Iraq? And would it start World War III?
Would it start World War III?
Right.
That's not where I expected that question to go. The answer is it would not start World War III. He's gobsmacked.
And there's your dead air moment of the day.
Thank you, Ryan. I thought he might have more after I told him that it would not cause World War III. I should have just waited, seeing how long that there would have been.
Maybe mentally it did cause World War III, and he's now melted down on the phone.
It is possible. Open lines, everybody. It's Friday. 855-478-4478 is the phone number. So give us a call. I wanted to mention one more thing about pay-per-view since he brought up that pay-per-view is not dead. I was just reading an article about broadband here in this country. And I guess, I think it's the FCC. There are new, I don't know if the rules is the right word, but there is a new definition for what broadband is, as far as what your upload speed has to be and what your download speed has to be for it to be classified as broadband. And at this point here in 2015, we still have 17% of this country that does not technically have internet fast enough to be classified as broadband. Now, I'm not saying that those people cannot get the WWE Network, but the WWE Network viewing experience for them probably wouldn't be very good. And I would guess that even people who are classified as having broadband, I know that there are a lot of telecom companies where Your broadband is faster at certain points during the day, and it's slower at other points during the day. And perhaps your viewing schedule does not tie in with the most active period. So the point I'm making here is there is a large percentage of people in this country who maybe, no matter how much the WWE Network cost, even if it were free, the viewing experience would be such where they would still prefer to pay the money to watch something on pay-per-view because they're not going to have to worry about the buffering, the jittering, whatever the case might be as they try to watch it on the internet. So I don't think there's going to be a day anytime soon where 100% of WWE's pay-per-view business is online through the WWE Network. There's always going to be a percentage, and maybe even as many as 25%, where they have a better viewing experience not watching on the WWE Network.
Plus, you do have to factor in, you know, as far as people's rates on these things and different packages where, cable plays a factor in this. I mean, you can have, like, say, a triple play package where your phone is included, your cable is included, and your internet. And the internet speed may not be fast broadband, but because of the price, it's a good price for you to get because you want to keep cable and you have your phone service through that provider. So, I mean, there's a lot of different factors at play for this. I mean, a lot of people who have satellite dishes obviously don't have cable, so they don't have broadband, so they have to rely on DSL. And there are a lot of factors that are in play with this where, you know, 100% broadband in this country is, you know, a generation at least away.
Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
It's John from Arkansas. I have to agree with your comments about the whole sport thing. I mean, come on. Let's go back to what it should be, a simulated sport. That's the roots of wrestling. I do not understand why or how it managed to get so far away from that. I also think that because it is a simulated thing, you grow to appreciate the time and the effort that goes into crafting each simulation that you're seeing if you're actually a devoted enough student of it to watch it and to, you know, follow every different product that there is. I mean, I try to follow as much as I can, and thanks to the website, I'm able to get access to some of the programs that I don't have regionally in my area. So, you know, I don't get why they want to go so far in the other direction. Plus, I have another question. If Dolph Ziggler leaves, do you think another organization will try to snatch him up immediately?
Oh, I'm sure if Dolph Ziggler left tomorrow, I want to thank you very much for the call. I'm sure that TNA would make an offer. I doubt they'd offer what he was making. Lucha Underground, I'm sure, would probably be interested. I don't know what their financial situation is going into season two, how much money they have freed up. I'm sure that he'd probably make a ton of money on the indie scene for at least the first year. I don't know how much longer it would last after that. Most everybody gets probably a real good year, especially somebody who's in the position that Ziggler is. He'd get a good year on the indie scene. Ring of Honor might offer him something, but I don't think he'd be making the kind of money he's making in WWE if you factor in merchandise and everything like that. We're going to head to a break. When we come back, more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And here we are, taking open lines here on a Friday, 855-478-4478 is the phone number. If you want to give us a call, do so. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Mark from Kansas City.
What's up, Mark?
I had a couple of questions. I've been listening to the show since the IATA days, and I was wondering if any of those shows are archived on the website.
I think that there is a thread somewhere on the board where somebody has uploaded old IATA shows, but I don't think we've got them in the official archives at this time.
Wasn't there one that where you guys interviewed Jim Herd? And I seem to remember Brian just going off on him, or not Brian, Dave.
I was
going
to say
going
me?
Off on him at one point.
I presume it happened. That was a long time ago. I can't remember who was on the show last week.
Yeah. But anyway, and the other question I had was, have you heard anything about if, you know, with WWE having this network and everything, if they've possibly thought about airing house shows every once in a while?
I suppose it's possible, but I would venture a guess not anytime soon. I think I think that you're going to get NXT specials. You're going to get the occasional King of the Ring special. I mean, it's one thing when for NXT, I mean, they're only doing the specials quarterly. If they were doing the shows every single week, I mean, there is a big expense to the production of going live. And for house shows in particular, I mean, the house shows are significantly less expensive than a television taping because there's a lot less production put into it. And so the costs to get all of the equipment in there, broadcast it back to Stamford, send it out worldwide on the network, I mean, it's a big expense, and it's easier to just tape something special on Tuesday night at the SmackDown tapings like they did with the King of the Ring tournament.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know because I know, you know, they have all those old, you know, like Madison Square Garden shows and that kind of thing, and I didn't know if they did tapings like that anymore or not.
Yeah, all that stuff aired on the Madison Square Garden Network. I want to thank you very much for the call. So that was, I mean, that stuff that was already taped and in the can, and it was scheduled to be like a television taping event anyway. So
yeah, for years, a lot of those shows, not only on the Madison Square Garden Network, you know, the forerunner of that, the what ended up the forerunner to the USA Network, which a lot of that stuff aired on as well, too. So and HBO originally, when HBO first came out, in fact, they showed one of them on WWE Classics. They have not put it on the network yet. But yeah, I mean, it spans through several generations of different cable. And Jim Herd was on the IATA show, and I can only imagine the conversations that he had with Dave, because I'm sure he was, I don't want to say, you know, not truthful at all, but I'm sure he had his own spin on what took place under his administration of WCW, which I'm sure was different than how Dave perceived it.
I want to thank Ken here for this list of stuff that we had on the website last week, as well as I normally do a plug telling you why you should sign up for WrestlingObserver.com. I'm not going to do that today. Instead, here is a list of everything that took place. This is valuable for both non-subscribers and subscribers, because maybe there is something you missed. And this is starting a week ago, Friday, After Dark Radio. We had a show talking demons. And by the way, After Dark Radio is airing tonight. You can find the link at WrestlingObserver.com. It's 2 hours live and free, 11 Pacific, 2 a.m. Eastern. I'm going to be talking to Nicholas De Leon. He's back talking the absolute latest in cutting-edge technology. If you're interested in the Apple Watch, that show's going to be a lot of fun tonight. Last Saturday, Wrestling Observer Radio, Filthy Tom Lawler running down UFC 186. And, of course, Filthy Tom Lawler starting this Monday. Regular Figure Four Dailies with Filthy Tom Lawler every Monday at WrestlingObserver.com. Sunday, Brian and Vinny's show with my buddy Sean and Vince reviewing Extreme Rules, as well as a Wrestling Observer radio talking Extreme Rules and tons on the John Jones situation. Monday, Wrestling Observer radio reviewing Raw, the death of Vern Gagne, and more on John Jones. Tuesday, Brian and Vinny and Craig show talking Raw, Extreme Rules, Nitro, as well as the Craig Obituary Contest, which was a big hit, as well as a Wrestling Observer Radio breaking news audio on John Jones and a Figure Four Daily with Bobby Roode. So a packed Tuesday last week. Wednesday, Wrestling Observer Radio news on John Jones, Lucha Underground, SmackDown, and more. And yesterday, Wrestling Observer Radio with Jim Cornette and the Brian and Vinny show with Granny. All of this was available only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. And that is an average week. We'll probably be reviewing the week every Friday here on this program. So if you missed any of that, trust me, you missed out on some fun stuff. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Oh, hey, this is Carl phoning from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. How are you guys doing today?
What's up, Carl?
Not much. I wanted to talk about a couple of things. First thing, the interview yesterday with Jim Cornette was amazing. I love when you have Dave Meltzer on there with... you know, like with someone like Jim that has like such a knowledge of the history of wrestling, it was just so good. I couldn't believe that right at the end when he started talking about Ray Stevens, that's when the interview ended. I hope you guys get him back on soon. the other thing...
I think it's safe to say that Jim Cornette will be back on soon.
yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And those interviews are great. I love hearing the history. The other thing, which I just wanted to bring up real quickly, I have my Ring of Honor tickets for the Ring of Honor New Japan shows on the Friday and Saturday, the 15th and 16th, and I'm so excited about going there, getting a chance to see the New Japan wrestlers. I think that's going to be so awesome. I'm so frustrated with WWE right now. The fact that their matches are like 2 or 3 minutes long, I just can't wait to sit down at Ted Reeve Arena and actually watch, like, you know, some really good professional wrestlers with some really good matches. So I'm excited about that. What do you guys think about that? Are you guys looking forward to those shows?
I'm very much looking forward to the shows. I'm sure Mike is as well. I I don't think you're going to see any two-minute matches on those New Japan shows there. And I guess it's going to be a while before we can see him on video on demand. I guess it's usually about a week before the video on demand goes up, which is kind of disappointing. But hey, at least we're going to get to see him at some point.
Yeah, I mean, the faster they get those things up there, the better it's going to be for them. They need a quick turnaround, and I'm not saying they can charge whatever, but they can certainly charge more than, you know, they usually do if they so choose, because, I mean, just look at those lineups. Again, we even talked about even the matches that are kind of like, you know, you shake everything out and you have whoever's left, you know, like the Moose Ghetto. Oh, God, who are they facing? Silas Young and who am I forgetting? I forget, but what, you know, again, even with those matches are even fun or at least a little bit interesting. Forget about the main event matches and most of the matches that are taking place on these shows, which are just absolutely, you know, awesome together.
Let me ask you this question because I don't know the answer. Is this Mayweather-Pacquiao fight essentially like kind of a co-promotion between Showtime and HBO in a sense?
Oh, it is.
Okay.
I mean, there has not been anything like this since Lennox Lewis and Mike Tyson. And I want to say, I guess that would have been 2002. I can't remember when that was. But that was the first time they ever did a deal where they had split announcing teams. They basically at that time flipped coins. You ended up with Jim Lampley and Bobby Chez. Chez for Showtime, Lampley for HBO. You had both Jimmy Lennon and Michael Buffer doing the announcing, the ring announcing for both men. You had, again, that you just had these, you know, this mix mash of stuff. And how that one worked was whoever won the fight got the rebroadcast rights, and Lennox Lewis was on HBO, so they ended up with it. So I think it's a little bit different this time around. I'd have to double check on who actually has the official rebroadcast rights. I don't think they.
Well,
that's
actually my big question. I mean, is this going to air next Saturday on HBO or Showtime or both?
I'll double check on that real quick. There may actually be a slightly longer delay just because of the price of the pay-per-view and everything that went around it. I don't think it's a week. It may be two, but it most certainly will be available for rebroadcast later on.
All right, to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee, and I'm kind of calling in response to that guy that asked about those old shows. Perfect place for him to go would be YouTube, because they're like that Jim Herd interview. That's where I listened to it, and man, that was pretty hilarious.
All right.
But anyway, kind of response about Vern Gagne and, you know, his death. As far as wrestlers in the 20th century, would you think that he's easily in the top five? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
As far as like, wait. As far as like an in-ring performer or just influence or, I think he's gone. I didn't get my clarification right there. I mean, he's certainly one of the most important figures. I mean, I think it may have been Dave who essentially said, I mean, you cannot write the history of wrestling in this country without mentioning Vern Gagne. As far as like an in-ring worker, I don't think I'd put him in the top five. But as far as influence, I mean, you could argue that. I don't know if it would be a consensus, but it certainly could be argued.
It would be. I mean, he is, I would say, in North America. Let me take that out, because Mexico, you're opening a different can of worms. In the United States, you most certainly can say that in the last 75 years that he is, because of the reach that he had, the amount of guys that he trained, the influence that he had, as big of a star as he was, you know, throughout the 50s and 60s, how wrestling was perceived and looked at wherever he was. You know, they may be, you know, wrestling may have been looked at a joke in a lot of places in the country. It was certainly not in the upper Midwest, and that is 100% due to Vern Gagne. So, I mean, it really, there are so many names and so much time has gone by where it's hard to really start picking and choosing, and it depends on what you think is important. Are drawing dollars important? I mean, you know, there's so much that goes on, but as far as a complete package goes for years and years and years, Vern Gagne most certainly deserves a spot in the top 10, if not the top 5.
Ryan in Cumberland on Twitter here says, you did say Rusev and Lana were moving the doomsday clock, so why can't Cena do it? Did I say that?
I don't remember you saying that.
Maybe
but
it was
did
you that said that.
I did not say that.
Maybe it was Dave. Wasn't me.
It was Brian Ladd.
Maybe it was Brian Ladd. He confused his Bryans. And he also says, why can high schools do live basketball and volleyball games on TV, but WWE house shows cannot? What's he talking about in terms of like airing like a? Are there high school basketball games that air live on like cable channels?
On small stations and things like that. Yeah, I mean, or if you like ESPN, if the basketball, if it's a national basketball or football powerhouse, they have begun to do that. Wrestling in some places that they've done that as well too.
Well, sure. I mean, the point is, it's one thing to bring one camera in and film a game or a wrestling show, but WWE. If they're putting something on their network, it's got to be of the highest quality. They're not just going to turn on the overhead lights and shoot it like a Ring of Honor show. They're not going to do that. It's got to look like a WWE event, or they're not putting it on television. And to do that is very expensive.
And that age has passed. I mean, when we had regional sports, like, you know, the USA Network used to air the Cap Center broadcast, and Prism in Philadelphia would air what happened at the Spectrum, and you know, Prime Sports in L.A. would air what happened at the Forum. Those times have passed. Now, if WWE all of a sudden starts, you know, having sellouts in their house shows repeatedly over and over and over again, and it's just something that, you know, is huge, then yeah, I could see them putting one or two in a major area on the the WWE network, and you could work an angle off of that show or something like that. But the whole point of those, you know, local shows is to get people to go, and if you could sit and watch it for free, again, it's not like they're filling those houses every night. So if you're not doing that, why would you give people a reason to stay home and watch? And again, just the whole, everything has changed as far as those local cable networks and everything else. Just, it's a different time.
Should mention, by the way, that Khabib is out. Khabib Nurmagomedov, he injured his knee. Maybe out 5 months is the rumor. He's going to be replaced by John McDessie against Donald Cowboy Cerrone, May 23rd, UFC pay-per-view. I guess the big question is, Khabib and Cerrone was originally a number one contenders match, the winner getting Rafael Dos Anjos, the 155-pound title. And now that Khabib is out, is Cerrone in line for the title if he wins? It's a big question.
Yes, because he's Donald Cerrone.
All right, everybody. We're going to head to a break. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Tomorrow's the big day, the fight of the century, Mayweather-Pacquiao. There are no pro wrestling pay-per-view events. There are no mixed martial arts events. Everybody, in fact, some sports are shutting down. Everybody is getting the hell out of the way so these guys can have their fight and attempt to draw 3 million buys. I've seen some people claim 4 million buys. We're going to find out in a couple of days, Mike, but I don't know. It's the biggest fight of all time. It's going to make more money than any fight ever, but I'm not sure about 3 or 4 million buys.
It's going to be the most lucrative fight of all time, obviously, easily. But 2.75, I could see being the peak of this thing. I don't think it's going to hit 3. Some people look at that as a disappointment, but there's going to be so much money, it won't even matter. And, you know, with the Kentucky Derby taking place, it's like we're taking it back to the 20s. The Kentucky Derby during the day, you'll have baseball going on during the day, too. And yes, there's hockey and some other things, but it's a horse racing and boxing sort of day.
Do you guys remember Art Bell? He's allegedly coming back this summer, July, in fact, to return to radio, or at least internet radio, on the Dark Matter Radio Network. You can link up to the Dark Matter Radio Network at both artbell.com as well as our website, wrestlingobserver.com. It streams 24/7. And on the Dark Matter Radio Network tonight, it is After Dark Radio with myself, 11 Pacific, 2 a.m. Eastern, live for 2 hours. It is absolutely free. We're going to be talking cutting-edge technology as well as everything in the realm of the paranormal. That is tonight, every Friday night, 11 Pacific, 2 a.m. Eastern. For more information, artbell.com or the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And we got a lot of great stuff coming up. And we'll be back this weekend as well with more. 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sunday, 2 hours of Wrestling Observer Live. I want to thank Mike, all of the listeners, everybody at Sports Byline USA. We'll be back on Sunday night after the fight of the century with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.